And we're live here in Pinecone Studios. New John Simmons here, Testimony House Network, Ashley and Chip. This is volume two.
Yeah.
Of our podcast. Yeah, because we started a few minutes ago and then my microphone just snapped in half.
That's true.
And, we spent several minutes trying to fix it. It didn't work.
Yeah.
But now here we are. Back together again. The band's, hey, we're back together.
We're back,
back together.
Just like it should be.
Yeah, I was so thankful that you guys were so encouraging during this moment in my life where I was having a complete meltdown.
Yeah, we're encouragers. We got that. One of our top five strengths.
That's her ministry.
Yeah, that really, I think she is an exhorter. There's no doubt about that. You guys have come on the show because you guys have one of the best love stories I've ever heard.
Oh,
we were just at your wedding back in February? January? Yeah, I knew it was the beginning of the year because it was one of my first reels I did.
It's okay. I said yes to February, so it was January.
Ashley co-signed it. She was like, yeah, the 14th.
Such an encourager. I just rolled with that.
So you guys got married this year, but what a journey you guys were on to get to their place, man. So missionary field is how you all met. So to back everybody up, so Ashley, you know my wife. You guys went to church together.
Yes.
And you guys ended up getting called because people in your church were going to Hueva. Am I saying that right?
Yep. Hueva. Uh-huh.
And so in Guatemala to do mission trips. So tell me how that whole thing started there.
Let me just back it up there for you.
Yeah, please.
So whenever I was 14, I went on my first mission trip to Hueva, Guatemala with my dad and the youth group. And just absolutely loved it. And so I always felt like I was called to missions to some extent, but I never quite knew what that looked like. And I never even heard of Guatemala at that. As a 14-year-old girl, I was like, okay, sure, let's go. And so went on my first trip and then after that just fell in love with it. So I started going back every single year since. I think I've been there. This might have been my 20th time traveling to Guatemala.
20?
I think it was my 20th, yeah. The math didn't quite make sense at first, but yeah, I think it's my 20th time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I love it. It's like a second home now.
Yeah.
And so I went every year after, and then Megan and I had been friends for a really long time. And we started, she came on a trip. I can't even remember what year that was, but she came on a trip with us and we both just loved it. We had such a good time. And then
it would have been 2012 or 13 probably.
Yeah, 2012 or 13. So I didn't know him yet. No. And then
when did you show up?
We met.
You were in there. You were there already.
That's a funny story because I used to work in the school where they used to go.
Yeah.
And I was working there the first year she went.
In 2010.
We never met.
Uh-huh. Oh wow!
Because I didn't speak too much English back then, so, and I was just with my kids, so I was not with the team, so we never noticed each other.
Yeah.
Until 4 years later.
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah. We met, but she has a better story about it, how we met and what is the actual reason why we met.
Yeah.
Well, go on.
You like the long pause there for a second?
He's wondering, will she say it? Or
not? Yeah, so I had a good friend, and he was like my first friend, and he's still our good friend.
He's a good friend. One of my best friends.
But at that time, I didn't speak a lot of Spanish. I was still learning and stuff like that. And he had... He messaged me on Facebook all the time, and I didn't know what he was saying, so I blocked him like any good girl.
Yeah, any good Christian girl. Get out of my DMs.
Get out of my DMs, bro. So he came to me, and he was clearly asking me, which I did understand, why can't I message you on Facebook? And I said, I don't speak Spanish. I'm sorry. I can't understand you. And then this guy comes out of nowhere and says, oh, in English, he wants to know why he can't message you on Facebook.
Oh.
So he ruined that one for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, let me check my settings. I'm like, now try it, you know.
Unblock.
I don't know why I blocked him. I just was like weird. Yeah. I don't know. I was weird. And then now we're good friends.
Yeah.
But I was like, you speak English? And all of his friends were like, you speak English? And he was like, I guess so.
I guess I do.
So anyway. That's how we met. That's how we became friends. And then because he spoke English, we started connecting. So he was there with his youth group that day, which him and his friends started, which you can probably talk more about in a little bit. But we started partnering with them, the nonprofit I was with, and his youth group, so that they could help us reach more of the teenage age.
Yeah. So let me back up for a second, because you've been on missions trips 20 times.
Yeah, I think, give or take, right?
So, yeah. When I got born again and people started talking about going to places that weren't America, I was like, like, where do y'all go to the bathroom? Like, I talked to some guys, like, there was a bucket involved. I was like, I don't know if I'm into this kind of excursion. I was like, I love Jesus. I don't know how much yet.
Right.
I need the conditions to be okay. So I have no heart for missions, although I pray, God, I'll do whatever you need me to do. Just ask me to do it here and don't send me away. I'm so thankful for people who have a heart for missions. Megan's obviously been on mission trips before, and we support missions, but it's just like, you got to be called to do something like that. Like you said, like you went there and the environment was something that you were like drawn to, like, even though you didn't speak the language real well yet, but like for you to want to go back and want to go back again and want to go back again. And even though you have to like raise money and raise support to do those kinds of things, that really is because God's called you to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
How did you feel like I was calling to you?
Absolutely.
Or was it more of like a...
Yeah. So whenever I was younger, I remember very specifically, my dad went to Honduras. I was 5 years old. And I remember that he came back and he gave me a doll from Honduras. And whenever I held that doll, I felt something in my spirit.
Wow.
I didn't know that at the time, but now I can look back and process that was the Holy Spirit. And I remember where we were at. I remember when he handed that to me, and I remember what I named it. I still have it. I love that doll. And I never really knew at that time what that meant, but I look back now and realize, yeah, God really did put the nations on my heart at a young age.
Yeah.
And then we also support our church supports an orphanage in India, and the leader of that orphanage named Pastor Thompson. And he came to our church when I was older. I was probably closer to 10. And I remember meeting him and feeling like he is the coolest person in the whole world.
Yeah.
For some reason, he was the coolest person in the whole world to me. And those things just hid in my heart and they just stayed there. And I always had a heart for languages, even though I didn't speak them. And I always thought I'd go to Africa or different places, but God had his plan. And my dad first asked me when I was 14, I thought he was kind of crazy, but dad knows best. And we went, and it was exactly what the Lord wanted. Whenever I was, I went a couple years back and forth. And then when I was 16.
Yeah.
What year was that? I don't remember. But whenever I was 16, I went, and I knew that I was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And I remember where I was sitting. It's so interesting. Whenever the Holy Spirit speaks, you can remember the exact moment where you were, what you felt, what you were looking at. And I remember I was sitting on a dirt ground with kids surrounding me playing, and I was 16 years old, and I remember God spoke to my heart so clearly, this is your future.
Wow.
And whenever I came home and I was journaling about it, he just broke me, and he made me just realize my heart for the nations and for poverty and for all of these things. And anyway, so that's kind of, you know, how it started, and it just stuck with me.
Yeah.
And now I don't live there, but I'm still, I consider part-time missionary there, and then do part-time missions here too. So God just knows whenever he has a plan, he's got a plan. So.
Yeah. And this is why I never felt called to missions, because I've never had that moment where it's, you know, he's sat in my heart and been like, all right, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get no doll from Honduras.
Yeah. That was where you went wrong. Should have brought you one. Brought you a pine cone. From Hoya Va.
I can't wait. And so I'll put it up here too.
Okay,
whenever we get one.
We'll get you. We'll get you.
Please do. You said they're like this big.
They're big, yeah.
What kind of trees are down there?
No.
Things are built different there.
Yeah, it's different.
So tell me a little bit about Hoya Va. Is that the area you grew up or somewhere else?
I was born there. We moved for some time to the south of Guatemala, where my mom is from. But then we went back to Hoya Va when I was like 12 in my middle school years. So basically I grew up there. And I love the town. It has grown so much, like, crazy. So, but it's still a good, peaceful town.
Mm-hmm.
Has a lot of opportunities for people, but still needs a lot of the Lord, basically.
Yeah.
I was called to serve when I was 16. I was taken. I didn't go. I was taken to a retreat.
Oh, wow. By like a buddy or somebody or family or...
My dad.
Yeah.
My dad went to that retreat and he surrendered his life to Christ. And he was like, "You're next." I was like, "No."
You're coming with me.
Yeah, but he was like, "No, I'm your dad. You're next." And I
see,
remember,
dads know best.
Yeah,
yeah. And I remember that weekend, a brother of my dad came, and I was like, "That's my excuse." I was like, "We have guests. It's so good to leave them here." And my uncle was
gotta make
like,
lunch.
Yeah. I'm gonna make lunch.
And my uncle was like, "No, no worries. I'm gonna take you there. Don't worry about us." And I was like, "No, I'm gonna stay with you."
Yeah.
But he took me to the place. Mm-hmm. My dad was like keeping an eye on me. I got to the place. It's in a village there in Huayabac. It's a huge auditorium. We were gonna be there for 2 days. I was just looking the way to get out of that place.
Yeah.
I went to the stairs and I was like, "No, it's too high to jump." Me and my dad were so athletic back then, so we used
he
to
considered it.
We used to run to that village, just like 4 miles away. So I was like, "I can walk home."
Yeah.
You know, they're going to say something, but I can handle it. And I was going to the door, and one of the guys that was serving there, he was an old guy, so sweet people, you know them. He was like, "Where are you going?" I was like, "I need something from the store. I can get it for you."
Yeah.
I was like, "No, my dad is out there and he has my money. He can pay me later. Whatever you need, I can get it for you." I was like, "Okay, I'm staying here."
I'm looking for a lousy excuse to leave.
It was like, "Okay, I guess I'm going to be stuck here." But that day I surrendered my life to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was 16 and never turned back.
Yeah.
So
It sounds like, to me, like on the surface, like you didn't want to do it.
I didn't.
Right, but then you say it's so easy. Oh, I surrendered. Like going from "I don't want you" to surrender is a whole thing.
Yeah, it was like, I bet my parents started praying for me.
Yeah.
And I have said this not to many people because I didn't remember, but there was a couple of guys, those guys that go door to door, praying for people, asking if they want to receive Jesus. I remember these guys came to my door and was like, "Why did I open the door?" And they were like, "We are from," I don't remember the church, I don't remember their names, but they were like, "You want to make this prayer with us?" I was like, "Sure." So they will go.
get out my house.
So I did that prayer, accepting Jesus in my heart. Those guys were so passionate about it. It was like nothing happened. But a couple of weeks later, I was going to that retreat. And I knew that my parents were praying for that. And when I accepted Jesus without knowing I was accepting Jesus, he took it serious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it was not from that moment to I surrender. I think it was a process.
Yeah.
With a lot of prayer of my parents in the background. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm here.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. So without Jesus, you wouldn't be here. Yeah. Because Ashley wouldn't have had nothing to do with
That's right. I wouldn't have a youth group or anything.
Yeah.
The 16, though, a heart to serve. When I was 16, I had a heart to do whatever the heck I wanted. So, like, how was it different for you?
I was still a guy who has a lot of friends.
Yeah.
But I was focused serving. Yeah. So I started serving that. The next weekend, I was serving in that group with where my dad was serving. So I changed my focus from doing whatever I wanted to serve.
Yeah.
So I had always that time to serve. Whatever they were doing, I was serving.
Yeah. Was it the church doing things or was it another group?
It's another organization. It's everywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. What's the name in English? It's the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they work through testimonies. And
it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And we worked with that for a couple of years until we found a church to serve.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So was there a lot of churches in town?
There's a lot of churches in town. Yeah, but most of them are like Mayan Christian.
Yeah.
What is that?
Not they are, something good.
They're just something. You have to do it.
Mayan Christian. Is that Mayan? Like the Mayans.
Mayan indigenous, yeah.
Indigenous. Most of them are like in a good way, but most of them are so mixed. So
yeah.
We have several churches, like a lot of churches, and some of them are good. Some of them are like they have their own things with the gospel, mostly the big churches.
Okay.
the most common churches, you know, and the churches have allowed that, so it's something so interesting to see.
So
it's hard to find like a church that is focused on the Lord, like not having the cultural thing like an influence on it. So it was a long trip, like for us, like 4 years to find a church, a good church to serve.
But you knew that those weren't it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So can you explain this a little bit?
What I can explain it.
Yeah.
So this is one of the things that we struggle with Huayva or with Guatemala in general, is the mixture of the Mayan indigenous beliefs.
Okay.
So up until really...
Is this just Guatemala or is this like the surrounding countries as well?
Surrounding countries as well. For sure in Mexico, El Salvador, they have a lot of this as well.
Okay.
And so basically, for example, there's a lot of Catholicism. That's in Central South America. Yeah. Catholicism is the predominant denomination. But instead of our version of Catholicism, which has its own, you know, ritualistic beliefs at times, theirs is very similar, but it's twisted with Mayan indigenous beliefs. So they, you know, Mary is their idol, but they also have other idols a lot of the time in the Catholic churches. And so these idols have come from Mayan beliefs. So they, you know, if you're not aware, Mayans believe in all kinds of gods. They
like
believe
the sun god,
the rain god, there's all harvest god. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of different gods that they believe in. And there's still people today that believe in that. It's definitely going away.
Yeah.
But it's still there. And, you know, we have Mayan ruins in Guatemala and Mexico. People still worship there. People still go and they, you know, pray. And we've been there whenever people have been doing that, and you feel like it's so far away, but it's still a thing, which is very tied to witchcraft and things like that as well.
Yeah.
And so within the churches, it's hard to find a church that is gospel driven, that is focused on Jesus Christ as the Savior and God as the only God, because of the twisted beliefs of their history, which if we look in our history, we see things like that as well. You know, things are slowly progressing, but they're even more behind. So they're slowly becoming more evangelical, slowly becoming more gospel centered. But even with the evangelical churches and the more charismatic, you know, movements, there's still so many twists.
Yeah.
And that Mayan culture is so ingrained in a lot of what they do in Guatemala and in Mexico as well. And all over with the Mayan, the Inca, and the Aztec. Those beliefs and that culture is so deeply rooted.
Yeah.
And so that is part of what we do, is we try to undo what has been done all these years, because that's the only way to stop a cycle of poverty of the heart, mind, and spirit, and all of the above, the body. It's that you have to stop what's been happening over and over.
Yeah.
And so, for them, that was a huge struggle. And then there's also a lot of competition with churches in Guatemala, in Huayva specifically. So there might be tons of churches, but there's a lot of competition. And it's
competition to get people in the doors, or
almost like a jealousy.
Sometimes feels like that.
Yeah, almost like a jealousy of, you know, if you're not at our church, you're not at a church. If, you know, our church is the church, stay here, stay with us. And because it's a smaller town too.
Yeah.
So that is kind of that balance. So There's a mix of stuff going on. And so, anyway.
Yeah, that's something that we loved about that organization we were serving, because it is not from a church. It's just like people from all the churches coming together to share testimony about what God did. So that's what we loved.
Yeah.
And it took us a while to find a church with that same philosophy.
Yeah.
We would say that. Whoever is welcome, you know, if you go to another church, awesome. If you want to visit, awesome. But serve the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
That was our vision. Mm-hmm. And we found that church and serving there is where we met.
It makes sense that you know, because like history of America, a bunch of Christians come over, but our nation's only a couple hundred years old.
Yeah.
So we don't have to deal with 1,000 years of people like trying to figure out religion and, yeah. And yeah. like have generations that are just like, I don't, what is Jesus like? They haven't heard about it for 800 years, you know, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden yeah. they're being introduced to the gospel. Whereas our foundation in America was founded on it. So it's like, it's part of our culture immediately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you guys had, like you said, you had to work on how to get through that. So you worked through it by like staying in sort of a multi-denominational organization yeah. until you were able to find a place that was able to breathe life into what you guys were doing in Christ yeah. in Hoiba. So when you found this church, how did it interact to the point where you guys were helping with Send Me or that you met each other?
Yeah, talk about your youth group a little and how that started. That yeah. would be a good start.
We were part of this branch of the church because the main church is in the city. So we were part of this branch. And a friend and I, because we serve in couples, so this friend and I, we had a group, and the group started grow so much, and the leaders got jealous about it. Speaking about the jealousy of the churches, instead of being happy that we were bringing yeah. a lot of young people to the church, they were jealous that our group had more group than the leaders. Mm. So
yeah, well, that's still churches today still yeah. feel that way. So
yeah, so they started to make us a little bit apart to the point that they were like, or you do what you're doing, or you stay with us. We're like, what? what is that request? You know?
Yeah.
And we couldn't stop. So there was a point where we had to quit from that church. But the guys we had in the group just called us like, are we doing the group this week? Are we doing the group this week? We only rest for 1 week. I said rest because we didn't yeah. do yeah. the youth group. But I called my friend like, we cannot leave these people like that, because they come with us, they might not feel comfortable at church. So we keep doing the group by ourselves for like 2 years mm-hmm. or 3 years until we have the connection directly with the church. We found out that that branch did not belong to church actually. So we got connected us to the church.
Yeah.
So they cover us and we just continued like a group, a youth group. We used to have the talent as an excuse to bring more young people. Mm-hmm. We found a gang. Mm-hmm. All the people say they were a gang, but we have some friends there and we invited them to an activity. They loved that. They started to change their life. One of them is still with us 10 years later, mm-hmm. Jose.
Mm-hmm.
He's our outreach leader.
Yeah.
He has a family. He has grown in the Lord, and we have a couple of those guys still with us 10 years later.
Yeah.
And we started growing and growing. We didn't fit in my house because we had our meetings, little services in my living room.
That's mm-hmm. so cool.
Then we went to the second floor where we fitted like 60, 75 people in my house.
You had 60 or 75 people in your youth group?
Yeah. Then then we were like, our leaders in the church in the city were like, yeah, we need to prepare you more in the ministry.
Yeah.
So they did it and we look for a bigger place to actually found a church, and we couldn't find any, but we didn't say anything. It was just my friend and I, mm-hmm. because we were the only leaders. And one day, all of a sudden, my friend came running like 7:30 a.m. I was sitting breakfast. It was like, Chepe was like, what are you fine? It was like, you won't believe what happened. I was like, what? Tell me so early and you're here. So this lady came. Remember, we didn't say anything to anybody. This lady came and said, do you need a big room for your youth group? I have one. We're like, sure, let's see it. It's a big room. We can fit 200 people there. We still have that place. It was just a old warehouse.
You still have it.
Yeah. And we fixed it. It's God that he's doing that. It was like raw block.
Yeah, like concrete.
Concrete. Mm-hmm. And people has come just like, oh, this need to be fixed. Covered.
Yeah, covered. Yeah.
I'm going to pay for that. And then it's like, you need more lights. Yeah, order them. I'm going to pay for that.
And the same person or so, different people?
Different people, like wow. Random people that they maybe just come once or twice to church just to mm-hmm. bless us. And the last one that is happening actually today, we have a really nice stage and somebody came like, your stage is so cool. I'm going to pay for the carpet.
Yeah. So we're come on, that. Somebody. We can make this stuff up.
It's amazing.
God is doing that. And we have a, from youth group, some of the parents started coming. So my friend's parents started to take some, to take care of them because they were part of church. They, his dad actually is the one who invited my dad to this organization. So they're serving now with families. My friend is serving with youth. We have a bunch of people in the teams. We have a lot of people, almost like 200 people at our church.
And it's multi-generational now. I mean, they have children's ministry. They have stuff for the adults, stuff for young adults, stuff for teenagers, all of the above. They have groups several nights of the week.
That's amazing. And you and your friends put this
together.
House
churches and everything. Yeah.
From a guy who said, I don't really want to go to the retreat.
I don't really want to go to the retreat. But yeah, so we have everything, and God has provided everything what we need. We had a sound system that needed some love, you know, we needed to fix it. And there is a guy who has a big audio company, and he was like, I have a new set of speakers that might be good here. We can try them. And we're like, sure, we can try them and see how we pay them. So we put them, and they sound amazing. They were brand new speakers. And we were like, and how much is that? He was like, just give me the old ones.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the little town in Hoyaba is getting audio equipment companies and everything else to sort of show up.
Their church is very high tech. Like, compared to some of the other ones that we visit, their church is very modern, very high tech. Yeah, it is very similar to churches we see today.
God has provided everything, including the people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are guys. They are amazing designers.
Yeah.
People that had work in audio systems and all that stuff, and cameras, designs. So we have screens, and we have paid for like very few things of all what we have.
Yeah, I mean, when you know it's God when you see those things happening.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Like, the only doubt is your own doubt. Like, because I mean, on the paper it says, look, this guy didn't believe in Jesus. He did. He started talking to other people about Jesus, and people started coming from everywhere filling up his bedroom. He had to move to the living room and out to the backyard, you know, and then all of a sudden you get a magical building, not magical, but supernatural building from Jesus. And all of a sudden he fills it up with all his stuff.
Then when families came, we were struggling with kids because kids are noisy and they want to have fun. And we were like, you need a place for kids. So a couple of people that love kids were taking care of them, like, in the lobby of the place.
Yeah.
And then the owner was like, you know, the people who's living in the house next, it's my house. So they're going out because they don't pay. You want that place?
Yeah.
Sure.
And it's connected. And it's connected to the connected. Church.
Though. So he fixed the place. He opened a door. So the church is connected. We have a huge yard for the kids. We have classrooms for the kids. We have a cafeteria there. All from God.
What do you guys call it?
Reset.
Reset.
It was a youth group name
because
we wanted to do something like where people come and restart their lives.
Oh,
everything. So we were like, what name?
So good.
Reset. Let's do Reset. We didn't know that it was going to be a church, but we kept the name.
I think it's a great name for a church.
Yeah.
And so is this what made you sort of look at them?
You know, this is so that day at the hotel, whenever we met, they were filming a video for their youth group whenever it still met in his house. And that caught us off guard because we work with a lot of the indigenous people. We work, like I was describing to you earlier, in the mountains and stuff. So we don't always see the high tech stuff.
Right.
We had cameras, lights, and all that stuff.
So they were like recording and making like this big production. And we were like, what are you guys doing? And then they started telling us, oh, we have a youth group.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we had been praying for, because I have a heart for kids, and a lot of the other people with Send Me have a heart for the widows and the elderly who are helping, but what do we do about the people in between?
Right.
And my peers at that time and all of that stuff, we just didn't know what to do about that. And so we'd been praying, and then here they come with all of their cool equipment that that attracts teenagers so sure much does. And they know how to serve them, and we're like, well, let's partner together. And so they
had a band.
They had a band. So they started playing worship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they started playing worship at the school that we worked at. We did like a fun, you know, carnival day, and they came and played worship, and the kids just had like the time of their lives because it was a live band. And that's kind of the first time we ever served together. And then from there on, we just, you know, continued serving together in different aspects. And even just this trip I just went on, people from his church that I had never met who have a heart for missions got to come with our team from Cross Point. And our heart was to invest in local leaders who have a calling but aren't sure what their direction is. So people from their church heard, got signed up. We had 15 people, six from his church, I think. And then we just got to invest in them. So even still now, we're working with them. So these leaders got to work with the kids and do the outreach and do the evangelism. And it wasn't just us doing it. It was us praying for them while they went and did it. And so anyway, there's all kinds of like
partnerships
that we've done with them and over the years. But I remember like speaking at his youth group whenever it was up in his top floor.
Yeah.
And think we thought this is the coolest thing, and now they have a church, and we went there just last Sunday. I was there, and they're awesome worship.
This is years later though, but back then, I want to tell people how y'all got together.
Yeah,
because it's not usual for someone to go on a missions trip, fall in love, and, you know, and that's a hard road. Come on, like let's talk about
it. It's hard.
Yeah,
it's funny. We were good friends after we started serving together.
Because you were only seeing each other every once a couple years.
Once a year.
Only when she came to Guatemala for the trips.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, you should date. We look at each other like,
I thought that was the craziest thing I'd ever
heard. Yeah, of course it's crazy. You live in...
yeah, no way.
I was like, me being the good missionary that I am, I'm like, that's against the rules. I can't do that.
We're like, no way. It's too far.
Yeah, way too far. Yeah.
We're too far. We're God just good never. Friends. But it was one trip, 2015, I guess. We started liking each other, and I asked her to be my girlfriend over a video, but I told her, don't answer to me yet. I need to know your parents and everything and see what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
So then I met her parents, and they approved. But between I asked her to be my girlfriend, it was 6 months for me to talk to her parents. 6 months until she came back again. So between you want to be my girlfriend to the JS is 1 year.
Yeah. Wow. I told him no.
You told him no?
I said, I'm going to need some time because I'm a processor and you need to meet my parents. He's like, of course. So then for 1 year, it was a pending yes, pending. And then after 1 year, we went on our first date and I told him that was something I really wanted to do, was just go on a real date, not be virtual, not be... Mm-hmm. And so we did, and then we decided that we would start dating in 2016.
Unbelievable. So let me walk through. I'm going to process this with you, processor.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm a processor, so anything you need, here I am. I've been through it.
So you guys had seen each other how many times before you decided to ask her out?
Twice.
You've seen her twice. So
I met him in 2014, and then the next summer they served with us, and
twice.
That was the trip that we felt like we liked each other, and we were a little freaked out about it.
But we were like, texting all the time. Just
you were in communication, okay?
Yeah. So between 14 and 15, we were always we talked, and we became really good friends. And I remember
on Facebook and stuff, or on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And text.
Texting. Yeah. And I remember we talked a few times, we FaceTimed a few times, you know, and I said out loud one time to one of my friends, and I literally scared myself. I said, yeah, he's so cool. He's like one of my best friends. And I was like, what? That is the weirdest thing I've ever said. And she was like, I didn't say anything. And my friend's like, interesting, you know, that's really interesting. And that was before the 2015 trip. And then whenever we went there, I thought, wow, he really is one of my best friends. I really like him as a human. And then so whenever we came and whenever I was there that week in 2015, I didn't think anything of it. I'd actually gotten a little sick, so I was, you know, even away from him a little bit, so we only saw each other maybe like 2 or 3 days of that trip because I was out for a few. And that's good, that happens. That's the missionary life right there. So
I was serving with the team and she was sick at the hotel.
Yeah, he was serving with the team
and you're trying to get a date.
Yeah.
She's like throwing up in the bathroom.
And so we hadn't said anything. I never even thought anything about it. And Because that I'm very like a rule follower. You know me, John. I'm a pretty rule follower. So I'm like, I can't. That's just not gonna happen.
You made him pin on a yes for a date for a year. That is beyond the rules.
I'm a rule follower. My poor dad's probably like, you could have dated him sooner, you know. And but then what happened was in 2015 we left, and whenever we left, I felt empty in a way. Not. I say that carefully. I'm not empty with God, but you know what I mean? Sure. I felt like something was missing and I felt scared out of my mind because of the way that I felt that. And it had to have been that way with me or I would have never paid attention, because I'm pretty good at being like, nope, following God's plan for my life. Yeah. This is what he's called. This is what I'm doing. Forget all the other stuff. And I was even at a point where I was like, I would be okay just serving the Lord, not even being married, just staying focused. I was not interested in any of that. And so then whenever we drove away, it was a significant feeling. And we've both talked about that, where we thought, what just happened? And I remember that night, my friend, was very clear to me, and she was like, I think that he likes you. And I was like, whoa, she's the first time anybody had ever said anything to me about that.
I mean, he's been texting you from another country for 2 years.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
you know, no
big deal. Just good friends.
And so I came back home and I thought to myself, this is terrifying. I'm never telling anybody that I felt that. I don't even know what I felt. God, help me process what that was. We had continued talking, and he had messaged me and was like, you know, how are you feeling? And started messaging me that he missed me. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to have to block this one too. What are we doing?
I was like, don't feel weird, but I think I miss you.
Yeah. But like, I understood exactly what he meant.
Yeah.
And I'm not one to be very like lovey-dovey, you know, but that was true. Yeah. It was really true. And I freaked out, so I didn't say anything. And then common trend in my life with the Lord of my panic, and then he takes care of it.
Yeah.
And I was going out with my mom and some friends that day, and my mom's friend.
Oh, this is the coolest part of the story.
Okay, my mom's, right. My mom's
buckle up.
Yeah.
My mom's friend pulled me aside. I had not said anything to anyone.
Nobody knew. It was just between her and I.
I think my mom was getting some kind of mother's intuition or something, because she started asking me different questions about him, and I was like, why do you care?
Yeah.
He's nothing special. I don't like him. I don't, you know, just trying to be defensive, and because that's who I am.
Yeah.
And my mom's friend, who is also my friend, pulled me aside and said to me, did you meet somebody on this trip? And all day long, she'd been bugging me. I need to talk to you. And I'm like, I'm avoiding her. I don't know what she's saying. And she said to me, did you meet somebody on this trip? And I said, I met a lot of people. I love the kids. Yeah. I met some great kids. She's like, no.
You know what I mean?
Like, did you meet somebody? Someone? Anything? Any, like, trying just to see if I'd answer. And I was like, you know, I can't think of anybody that you would be talking about. And she's like, are you sure? Because my husband and I were praying for you, and God gave him a vision that you met somebody, and we're supposed to approach you about it. And I was like, I still don't know what you're talking about. Because at this point, I haven't even told my mom or anybody. Yeah. I haven't told my best friend about it yet, you know? And I was like, well, actually, we probably need to talk. And she goes, I knew it. And so we sit down, and I'm like, please don't tell my mom yet. I haven't even talked. She's going to be so mad that you know before her. I said, there's this guy that I do think that I like. And I can't believe I'm even saying that. This is 2 weeks after the trip. So God didn't give me much time to process.
Yeah.
And so later her husband came up and spoke to me and shared with me what happened. And he had this vision where it was two hearts, and they were just white and pure. And then God's hand came and touched each of them, and in a snap they were red. And he felt like very clearly that that was God's hand on our relationship, and that he needed to tell me that it was okay, that he had. And that's what I needed to hear.
You can't hear it from him. You need to hear it.
Yeah. I needed to hear from God that I had approval and that this is from him, or I would have never done it, because I want to trust honor the Lord at all steps. And so I want to be very careful and not let things get in the way. And with my ministry there, you know, I was very protective of it. Even still to this day, I'm like, I know you're my husband. Go stand over there for a second so I can talk to some kids, you know. I'm very protective of that, because I know that that's important, the way that you're, you know, ministering to people. And so, anyway, I needed to hear that. And so he told me, and he's like, did it happen like that at all? And I was like, that's exactly how it happened. Like, we went separate, we drove separate ways. I drove away, and it was a immediate, like, on our hearts, on our spirits. And I, like a finger poking us. And, that should have been enough, but that's, I was still terrified.
No so kidding.
I was like, I'm going to have to process that one now again. And so that's whenever we started talking, and I felt more confidence to be like, okay, let me talk, you know, through my, with my elders through this, and my mom, my mentors, things like that, and see what's going on. And then, like I said, my family went down there in January, cause my mom and dad love Hoya Vatu, and they went down on a mission trip, but I was in college at the time. And so I wasn't able to go. So they went down, and he came and asked permission to date me.
How was that?
It was so fun. Yeah.
Always fun with my family.
It's first off, was. I can't imagine this. I'm trying to set the scene for, like, this is so incredible. Like, there's not a story anywhere in the world like this. Like, you meet on mission, but then you're like, yeah, my parents went on mission without me.
Yeah.
Like, that's, that's a whole nother, like,
you that's could, our life. Yeah.
We can have another story time about, like, how that's a thing.
Oh yeah. Get Kevin and Gina Harper in here. They've got some stories.
So there, and then not only are they going on mission trips to help with the widows and stuff, but they're going to meet a boy who likes their daughter.
And and I'm pretty like discreet about things. So I didn't even explicitly say Chep is going to ask you permission to date me. I just said, I think out of fear, I literally said, Chep will be there. He's talking to you. And I'm pretty sure that's all.
You might just say hi.
That's all that I gave my parents. And my dad was like, I know. Oh, yeah, like that good. Feeling of a dad. I'm like, oh, I know. But they were excited too.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah, tell them the story.
Yeah. So I came to the hotel where they stay. They were so nice. So I came out of my car. They were like, oh, that's Jose. Hey, how are you? So I was invited to dinner. Me and a couple of friends, we had a TV show back then.
Yeah.
And they saw me at the TV. And it was the whole team eating dinner. And slowly they were leaving. It was like, oh, their time is coming.
Yeah, so not only did he have to ask my mom and dad, but the whole team, who are all people who've been a part of my life for a long time, were there eating with him. So
yeah. So as they were leaving, it was like, okay. But Kevin, her dad, he has this... I don't know. He likes to play
fidget. He's a fidgeter.
Mm-hmm. He likes to play with silverware. But as I was talking to them, well, first of all, Gina was so kind. Her mom, she made it so easy. She was like, okay, you like Ashley and Ashley likes you. What else? I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you for breaking the ice.
Yeah.
It was like, I couldn't do it without you. So they were asking every parent question. But as I was answering to them, he was playing with silverware, but he was playing with two knives. And one of the guys of the team just came here and went back and told to the other guy. No, after we talked, they were like, I think you told to your dad.
Uh-huh.
What were you talking to that poor guy with two knives? Were you terrifying
him? The whole time my dad's sitting there tapping knives because he's like, you know, one of those guys that drums everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He's sitting there drumming with knives while Chep's talking to him.
He's sending a signal, Chep.
Yeah. And he was like, I didn't even know they were nice.
Yeah.
But that was fun. They were so nice and they approved.
Yeah. But so you would think that'd be the hard part.
Yeah.
You would think that, you know, getting your parents to come to Guatemala to talk to a boy that's three times, you know, would be the hard part. Mm-hmm. But the real hard part was once you got going.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, God gave you, I believe, this is my perception of what happened, is that God had to give you a supernatural third party word.
Yeah.
To give you the faith to walk this out. Yes. Because you guys were about to walk a very, there's going to be a lot of strongholds on the road to marriage, you know, that you had to climb over and get through and break through.
Absolutely.
So in order for that to happen, I think, honestly, I feel like it's generational for your family. Like the family that's going to come out of this union is because, you know, it had to come out of something more difficult, you know?
Yeah.
So, what's about to happen with you guys is going to be incredible because of all that. Right.
Yeah,
so,
amen.
But when I see you guys getting together and you're, like, I remember hearing about this first time. I was like, she's doing what now? She's seeing some guy from Guatemala.
I remember you getting a little defensive, John.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was just like, how's that going to work? Like, I was like, because at the time, you were saying, like, you might move down there. And there was a lot of different conversations in the air.
Yeah.
You know, and didn't really know how it was going to work out. Like, and so
yeah, that was the original plan.
Yeah, was it that you were just going to move to Guatemala?
Yeah, well, whenever I, you know, heard that calling on my life when I was 16, I thought that meant one thing. And I thought that meant moving down there as soon as I could and, you know, and doing missions. And I read about a lot of young missionaries who did that, and it was so successful for them. But, you know, my dad was like, you're going to college. What are you talking about? Ah. Which I'm so thankful I did, because that's where the Lord gave me more clarity. But yeah, whenever we started dating, that was kind of my plan. And then, well, whenever we met, that was my plan. And then even in that beginning year, God changed everything. And I ended up going to Evangel University, 2016, the year we started, after we started dating. So I was there for 6 weeks that time. So our first 6 weeks of dating were together.
Yeah.
And then I came back and I went to college.
It's nice of God to give you that.
Yeah. That, you know, honestly, it was something I prayed for. Yeah. I prayed for time with him. I prayed for our first times to be together, and God gave that and blessed it. And it was, we got to serve together and we got to just be together, which was awesome. And, then I went to college. I was already in college, but transferred into Evangel University, where the Lord just gave me so much more clarity. I started doing teaching. I was going to do science. I don't know what I was doing. I took like 3 science classes and I was like, this is not what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Like science.
I don't even like science. I was going to do like science, like agriculture, and then use it for missions. I was thinking missions always. And finally, one of the professors was like, why don't you try teaching? And I was like, well, that makes sense. Everyone was like, why? I thought you were doing teaching. Shouldn't you have done teaching?
Yeah.
I love kids. I just didn't know. And started doing teaching and got involved in the Teaching English as a Second Language program. And basically, I fell in love with it. I met refugees and immigrants from all over the world. I started realizing that my calling could be more than just going to Guatemala. And I felt called to nations, but I didn't know what that meant. And my professors just helped me kind of focus in on that, to be like, what is the call? But that created some challenge for us, because I was so nervous to tell him. Like, I remember the time that God redirected me. My professor and I were praying, and we both just felt this peace about me staying in St. Louis after college and all this stuff. Because for the whole first year or two, it was very up in the air. You know, what is the plan? Are we...
And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Because you say it in one sentence now, but at the time you're like, 1 year without each other, 2 years without each other.
Like, what's after happening? College, like, am I moving there? Yeah. Am I not? And in my second year at Evangel, it was like, God really shifted it and made it very clear that, you know, my professor said this, I'm going to throw this in for your podcast, because this is probably the most life-changing thing. I sat there and I'm crying, because I'm like, I'm supposed to move to Guatemala and my boyfriend's there and I don't know. And my professor sat me down and was like, sometimes in life we find our calling. See, I'm going to mess it up. Whoop. Go ahead and delete that one.
Revert.
Sometimes in life we find our identity and our calling, and we forget that it's in the God who called us. And that transformed our whole relationship.
Yeah.
And it transformed every step after that. Because I realized for this whole time, especially of missionaries, I feel like there's like a vibe where it's like, I'm a missionary. This is how I dress. And this is how I act. And this is how I am.
Yeah.
I am Guatemala. You know, it's like, and I started to hate it. I started not hate Guatemala in the mission, but to hate when people were like, aren't you moving to Guatemala? Or is that bag from Guatemala? I'm like, no, it's from Target, people.
Right,
you know, like,
I
started to get this like taste in my mouth. Bad taste in my mouth, because I thought people are identifying me as a Guatemalan missionary, and God has so much more for my life than that. And I didn't know. And I put that on myself too, you know? And so I started to be more open to new ideas. And that's when I fell in love with the English language program and all these different things. And I remember being so afraid to talk to him about it, but we had like an altar call at church one night, and I just felt the Lord say, you know, it's time for you to share that with him. And I talked to him and I was like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I feel like I don't know if I'm supposed to move to Guatemala. And he was like, that's okay. It's no big deal. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And he's like, if God's not calling you to it, then let's just see what he's calling you to. And I'm like,
But what
does that mean for both of us? You know, I'm like crying like, I don't understand what that means though. And he's like, it's okay. Like, let's just see what happens. And from that point on, we both realized like, we're going to have to let things go, because the plan that we had for one another is not exactly what's going to happen. Huh. And it's probably going to be even bigger and greater because, you know, even for marriage, I struggled to envision that. Not that I didn't want to marry him, but I was so focused on being a missionary in Guatemala and never being married and just focusing and loving God and loving kids and loving the world, yeah. You know, that I had to reframe that thinking and be like, okay, what does God have for my life and what does it look like? And now here we are married and it is better than I could have ever imagined because partnership with him in ministry is so much more beautiful than what I could ever do on my own, you know? And so anyway, that's kind of where we started shifting and realizing that I was probably going to stay here and that he was going to come here.
That caused some issues, right? It wasn't as easy as it sounds. Yeah. Just come on over.
Well, hey.
Well, we wish,
It was not so hard. At first, it freaked me out because the plan was her going because I love my town.
Yeah, and I do, too.
I love the life I had. I mean, God gave me a great life there, a great church. So my life since I met the Lord was serving. So it was like, I have a church here. She's coming. That's awesome. You know, I don't have to move. Yeah. I don't have to leave my church.
Yeah.
My people. Mm-hmm. But in the same time that she felt that and she had this realization, it's like God turned everyone around that. Because at first it was like, Ashley's coming here and she's going to live here, to all the people saying without knowing anything, so you're going there, right? I was like, I guess,
yeah.
You know, and it was a hard reality because for me too, I remember just like grieving and crying for days on end because I thought that was going to be my home, because Huelva is my home. It's a second home for me. Mm. And I really thought that's what I was going to do. And so I had to kind of like grieve that loss of expectation. And so did he, you know, but even people there are always like, when are you moving here? And they've stopped doing that in the last several years. It's been more, when is Chep coming home with you? Are you leaving him here again? You know, like, what is going on here? Because then for, you know, how long was that? So 2016, whenever we started dating and God reframed a lot of that. And now we dated for, dates are hard.
6 years.
6 years.
6 years.
We dated for 6 years.
6 years.
Mm-hmm. Long distance.
Yeah. What was it like for you as a man, you know, I got this fiance somewhere else, you know, like you want to be able to.
Yeah.
Get this thing going, your plans keep changing.
I think God aligned everything. In Guatemala and a lot of Latin American countries, it's so hard to get like a visa to travel here. So I told my parents after she left in 2016, like, I think I'm going to request my visa. And my dad was, what are you talking about? We are going.
Everybody's going.
Everybody's going. So my whole family, we came to request. And our interview was like 3-5 questions, and the guy was like, okay, have a good trip. We're like, okay, thank you. We left and then we were like, wait, we got it? Like, so easy. Then we came here. I came a couple of times before then COVID. We didn't see each other for like a year and a half.
During COVID, that was during the longest COVID. Time we'd been apart.
But then after that year and a half, we got engaged.
Yeah.
It was like, I felt like it's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but like, we had made a decision which helped a lot. So we were going to be apart, and we had a lot of boundaries, like a good Christian couple, and we were like, let's put apart the kissing part. Oh, sorry. Put apart the kissing part. Mm-hmm. We're not kissing each other until we get married. We get engaged. And we did it. So that helped a lot.
Yeah.
So anybody believe that? Like somebody could date someone for...
Well, but at the same time, it's 6 years, but you've only seen each other how many times? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
2 months total, maybe? You know?
I think usually I'm usually in Guatemala for a month to 2 months, and then he comes for a couple of weeks in the off, you know, in the winter.
So maybe you saw each other 6 months out of those 6 years. Yeah. You know? Right. So in that terminology, it doesn't feel like...
It's crazy.
So much.
Yeah. But it definitely helped, because I remember just feeling like something has to be drawn here so that we have a firm line of what our priorities are.
Yeah.
And that helped so much because, you know, we were super strict about physical boundaries. And, you know, for his Latino culture, you know, his family was like, are you guys good? You don't even like hardly hold hands, which we did. But it was, you know, those things are a little like more awkward whenever you have those strict boundaries.
Yeah.
And but the thing was, it was like, I love to see him and love to be with him. But I was there to know him and to be with him and not to, you know, cross boundaries or to, you know, make emotions stir up that were unnecessary. And I think that kept our level heads through the whole thing.
You guys kept that on yourself, or did you feel like other people were like saying, maybe you should keep this?
It was in ourselves.
It was ourselves.
I was feeling that, yeah. And she was feeling that. But one day we were like, I think we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I know.
Yeah, that's how every conversation always went. Uh-huh. It was like, I need to tell you something. I know it's coming. I know. You know, because God speaks to us first, yeah, and foremost. And then I didn't feel like other people were really. I think other people were like, why are you doing that? That's unnecessary. Yeah, like yeah, of course,
how can you do it? How can you know each other? Like, yeah. Well, we know each other better.
Yeah. Like, of course, boundaries are important, and every Christian mentor would say that. But at yeah, the same time, some of the mentors were like, you know, it's okay. And I'm like, no, it's not. My rule yeah, follower. But it's really, it wasn't just about following the rules. It was about guarding our hearts and our minds and keeping all that clear. And so I think that that had a huge role to it. Yeah. So even though it was challenging to be apart, that was one aspect that helped. And then, honestly, like, we could never have done that without the Lord.
Of course not.
Never.
You can't date somebody long distance for 6 years, keep the wall up between you, and yes, you know,
without the Lord, right?
There's
without
no the way. Lord. There ain't no way.
He sustained us so yeah, much, and people would always ask me, "Do you miss him?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I mean, sometimes I was like, "Yeah," but this is kind of our norm, yeah, and mm-hmm, we both felt like
that's interesting. So it was normal.
To yeah,
not be near each other, which is everybody else is like, you get together and you're like, you're always together.
Yeah, and now we're always together. And I'm yeah, like, I went away for 1 week without him to Guatemala, and I was like, oh, I can't believe we're apart. But it's like,
it's gotta be different.
It's good. Yeah, it is different. That was a different feeling, because usually we're used to being apart, but at the same time, we always knew like God had him there for a very divine purpose. And throughout the time of us dating, that youth group grew into yeah, a church. And he had me here for a very divine purpose. And if I would let, you know, me going with him distract, or let those emotions and feelings distract, then I feel like both of us would have been off course of what the Lord had yeah, for us. Of course, he could always redeem that and he'll always bring that back. But I don't know. We both felt like we need to be here. We're here for such a time as this. And yeah, so we're going to live it and we're going to do it. And if it means 6 years, it means 6 years.
Yeah. It's so good. Let's talk about the day. So, I mean, you guys wait 6 years, you're engaged for a year and a half, but you start planning the wedding, long distance wedding planning. I'm sure that was fun, right? Like, what do you think about the colors? I don't know. I can't.
Yeah, we actually did like no planning long distance. We waited till he got here.
Oh, okay, good.
Because I was like, we have so much to do. You know, like a bride's unrealistic expectation yeah, is like, you know, in all the movies I've seen, let's see, I've been, I think I counted in 16 weddings. I am 27 dresses. I am that person. Right, I have 16 bridesmaid dresses yeah, sitting in my closet right now.
Oh, no.
If anybody wants them, let me know.
You're a good friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was in a lot of weddings. I'm so thankful for that. But then, you know, it comes to your own. You're like, well, I've got all these ideas now because I've been in so many. And so, you know, we start trying to plan and stuff. My yeah, family was the worst. I love my family, but man, my mom just is an event planner. Yeah. She loves to plan. She was ready to go in 2020 whenever we got engaged. And I'm telling you, I probably didn't plan a single thing until maybe 2022.
Yeah, before like 2 months before I moved here.
Like
yeah,
maybe
yeah,
in the summer of 2022, I started thinking, we should start planning some stuff. And all we did was our registry. And I had like, you know, I'm a girl. I had my Pinterest board ready for years and yeah, years. So I kind
a
of
good
had,
Christian girl has that Pinterest
of
board.
Of course, we got our Pinterest board. So, of course, I had ideas. But I thought, you know, there's nothing we can do without him. I mean, he doesn't have to be here, but he likes to be a part of that
sure,
stuff.
Yeah.
And it's his wedding,
to be
too,
part
you know?
Of the party.
I guess he can come.
Yeah. I guess he can. I guess
you're invited.
It's basically what weddings are, right? And so, anyway, so we kind of started planning that summer of 2022. That drove my family crazy. And then whenever he got here in November, we really planned. Like, we were like, whoa, we got 2 months to get married. So yeah, let's just like get the ball running.
Speed
here.
It up. Yeah.
But you know, cause I had all those ideas, we just threw it together. And I think my mom was secretly planning all those years, cause she just threw stuff out of nowhere.
She's like, I just happened to have a closet full of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
yeah,
like,
she
I was
had
like,
a lot of things ready. We were like, she's yeah, been thinking about it.
I was
yeah,
like, how did you know about that venue? How did you know? You know, it's yeah, like, mm-hmm, I think she was already planning because
she
knows.
She had curtains and everything in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah. She got all kinds of stuff. Yeah. And so between November, isn't that awesome? Between November and January, we planned our wedding, and we had our bridal shower. He had some good friends here, threw him a bachelor party, and I had my bachelorette party, and then we did all of that in like 2 months.
Yeah. So you walked down the aisle, though. I mean, was it what you thought it was going to be after waiting so long?
It was quicker than I thought it was going to be. Like mm-hmm. I told you, you know, yeah. It feels like it went so quick. We're like, oh no, should we go do it again? Like, should we savor that again? Because I feel like I didn't savor it enough, you know? Yeah. Because that's what everyone told me, but I never believed them until it happened to me, so.
Yeah, we were walking out the aisle, and I told her, was that it?
Yeah. Are we missing?
Did we cover everything? Are we missing something?
Are we legally married? Because it feels like we missed some things, you know?
And then everyone was like, that was so beautiful. And we were like, I don't remember a single part of that.
I forgot this thing happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
But thankfully, we have it recorded, so we did get to look back. We actually haven't watched the whole thing because we're like kind of just waiting. Like,
weddings go by so fast. But yeah, for you guys, like, you guys have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Yeah. Like, in my head, I feel like, was there pressure that was gone before that moment, or was it just like finally, or was there relief, or was it, what was the feeling?
It was weird. It was like it's finally gone, but I always put this example, like the fishes in Finding Nemo at the end.
Oh yeah,
when they escape and they're like, so what now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, oh, it's done,
we did it.
So
yeah, because it's like you have this big goal you've been working on for a whole life. It's like trying to build a house or trying to build a company or something. It's like, we did it. Mm-hmm. And then you learn about the adventures and the journey, not the destination. You're like, wait a second.
No, I already did this. Yeah. And I think for me, it was exciting. It was scary. It was like fast, but not because it'd been 6 years. Yeah. But it felt fast because it was 2 months of him being here. Just a lot of change and things like that were definitely part of it. So like even if it was a little shocking, it's like we didn't have time to be like shocked. It was just like, it's happening right now.
Yeah.
And then it
happened. After 6 months, 6 years of waiting.
It's like it's happening. And it just really didn't feel real. I kept saying the whole day, like, is this really happening? And then after, did that really happen? We just felt like.
I just came to her. This is our wedding.
Yeah. We're sitting there eating dinner. We're like, is this happening?
Is this our wedding? Is somebody else's wedding?
And honestly, it was a beautiful wedding.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
We're so thankful. Mm-hmm. Everything was so smooth, but it was too smooth. Like, I was like, I thought this something was supposed to go wrong. Like, this feels so smooth. Is this happening right now? I needed something to, like, wake me up, you know, be like, this is reality. But I do remember just, like, the peace of God on that day as well. Like, the Holy Spirit right before I walked down was like, it's happening.
Yeah.
And I had a little moment, just me and the Holy Spirit, because everyone was gone. And I remember just praying, like, God, just, like, fill me with your peace. Like, I'm so nervous. I'm like, my mind is tired and I'm nervous. And, like, every bride feels, you know. And I just remember feeling the touch of his Holy Spirit. And then I blacked out for a little bit and the wedding happened. You know? But it's like, you know, it was really, truly so beautiful. And I feel like God was honored. And but definitely afterwards, we just waited 6 years for this moment to happen. Like, what?
I don't know if any wedding would have had the congregation as excited for the couple as you guys. Really. Yeah. I mean, like, everybody was rooting for you guys for so long, was in your corner, was watching you guys do this thing that everybody else was like, I couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all thought it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, hear the horror story after horror story, you know, whether you get sick on a trip or, you know, having trouble coming up here or whatever the different problems that you guys had to overcome.
The bad signal, the beep.
Bad signal.
Beep. Yeah.
Getting stuck, like, oh, I'm sorry, you were freezing. I couldn't hear you.
The frozen faces on FaceTime. We had a lot of that. I think, and especially the people that were there were people who've been with me through 6 years of seasons. Yeah. And I mean, that's a lot of seasons. And so I had people from high school and people from church and people from college. And, you know, his family was there. It's just, it was really sweet. It was just such a sweet moment. And I remember us both praying and that the Holy Spirit would just be present. You know, we had some people who weren't believers as well. And we just remember, I prayed that night, God, give me a vision of what you saw tonight. Yeah. Let me see our wedding from your perspective, because I kind of forget some things because it was overwhelming. And he just gave me this vision of everybody just like dancing. And my niece danced. She's 3. She danced for like 2 hours straight. She just couldn't stop. And everyone dancing from all different seasons of my life and of his life being together, but just this like blissful glow over everybody and this like light peace that they were just like, they weren't just dancing, but they were like rejoicing in the presence of God. And to me, it just felt like dancing in the moment. But whenever I look back at it now, I realize we were actually praising God and rejoicing in those moments, you know, even if it was to Journey or whatever it was, we were rejoicing to that. And he just made me so aware that our story, you know, can be more than just a story, that it can be these people brought all these people together, which is emotional for me. And I can hardly get it out without crying because we were all, which part of the part where we forget things, we were just so overwhelmed with emotion, but in a beautiful way.
Yeah.
And, you know, just even looking at our niece just dancing, we're like, she just was dancing in the blissful presence of the Holy Spirit. And that is just so cool.
And people that is always like so serious and with a straight personality, they were dancing like crazy that night.
Rejoicing.
And we found out like the Holy Spirit saying, I was there in 2016 and I was there on the wedding.
The celebration.
Yeah, and it was amazing.
He saw that before you all did.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And there's just something that happened with the Holy Spirit in our trip. We went to a really short honeymoon to Branson, and we were driving back, and we were listening to a sermon of my pastor from Guatemala. He preaches a lot of the Holy Spirit and his presence. And I knew that it was coming, but I was like, God, I'm driving.
He felt it.
Don't give me the joy yet.
Yeah. And the moment was coming and I told, get ready, the Holy Spirit's going to come to this car. And I started praying and the Holy Spirit filled up that car.
Yeah.
She started laughing and laughing. Couldn't stop and crying. We were just worshiping. That was
reading scripture and praying.
Reading scripture, praying, laughing for a straight hour. I guess.
Almost exactly. Actually, I think it was exactly an hour.
The presence of the Holy Spirit in that car, I was like, God, I'm going to go to stop on the shoulder because this is too much. I was started shaking out that amazing thing. We started praying for people and like, God, we pray for people who's driving next to us to feel this.
Yeah, we were praying for the cars next to us and
everything. Yeah, come get some.
And I remember we listened to that sermon. He was talking about the joy of the Lord and the holy laughter of the Lord and how contagious it is, you know?
Yes.
And I have some doubt in those areas, you know, and not all the time. I just have certain things where it's like, God, I don't know if that's for me. I don't know if that. And I remember feeling like, God, I just want to trust you deeper than I've ever trusted you. And, you know, at this point you're like, I remember our pastor saying too, like that you feel a spiritual difference whenever you become one. It is a spiritual tie to the Lord in a way that you've never known before. And this was our first experience of like, whoa, the things that God can do with two people.
Yeah.
Of course, the things God can do with one. I'd never put that down for someone who's not married or dating. Don't let that ever stop you. But the things that he can do with the person he puts in your life is incredible. And so we're driving and we're listening to this and I'm just wrestling with doubt in my head and fear and all these things start popping up from random situations, you know, the enemy just trying to attack. And we stop and go to the gas station. We grab like a bag of chips, go to the bathroom really quick. We don't really talk. We're like, it's like this thick tension, like something is about to break. We get back in the car. We finish the last 4 minutes of the sermon or something. And that's when I started. I laughed for an hour straight. I could hardly breathe. I was crying. He's crying and laughing, but trying to focus on the road. And
this is how you start your marriage.
And this is how we start. And to me, it was more than just look at me full of the Holy Spirit. It was, you know, look at what happens whenever you honor the Lord with every single step. And whenever you truly trust him with the deepest depths and the deepest doubts of your heart, because that was something that was a doubt in my heart.
Yeah.
And whenever you just follow him, he will always fill you and always sustain you. And that was kind of what that meant for me. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. It was, look at what I'm going to do. Look at what I can do in your life. And you have sadness in your heart. Let me fill that with joy. You have anxiety in your heart. Let me fill that with peace. You have these things that we wrestle with or these doubts that we're ever even going to get married, you know? Let me prove you wrong and let me show you my goodness. And that's how we started. And we started praying over people in our lives. We started reading scripture and we just kept laughing. I just couldn't stop laughing. I'd never experienced something like that in my life. I mean, I've experienced the Holy Spirit in different ways, but never quite like that. And
The joy of the Lord is something different.
It is.
And unless you've experienced it, like I was so skeptical of it until it happened to me. Uh-huh. I was like, what are these people doing? You know? Like, but then it happened to me, and it's happened to me three times since, and I'm like, y'all, y'all need to go get some of this.
There's nothing quite like that. That was, one of the greatest moments, most connected moments with the Lord I'd ever felt. And just such a holy, holy moment. So anyway, and that was our first, we only had like a couple days, two days of vacation. We were on our way back and.
You guys only had a 2-day honeymoon?
We did. We did. I had to go to work, so.
But you guys have been married 6 months now, give or take?
Yeah, about six months. Yeah. I'll be 6 months in July.
It's been good for you guys, obviously.
Yeah, right? Amazing. So good.
What was the hardest like difference now that you're living together and doing stuff and you're talking every day? Was there any like...
Definitely. Always, right?
Yeah.
With anybody, even whenever you're with each other dating.
Yeah. I mean, but specifically for you guys, just having spent so much time apart, and then now it's different. Like,
I think that...
Something funny, but it's been not a problem, but something that we need to adjust is like the definition of home chores in Spanish and English.
Okay.
Like, one day she told me we had a, laundry. Yeah, yeah. Laundry at home.
It's I got nervous for a second. I thought he was going to call me out.
We always have. So she told me, can you put the laundry away? So my brain translate, put it away. So I took it and put it in a different place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because to my Spanish brain, put away means just like move put it in a different place. You know?
Yes. Okay.
And
she
was like, well, it's still there. Next day.
And I didn't say anything because it was first month of marriage. And I'm trying not to be like, put the laundry away, you know?
Yeah, but definitely that is not a barrier with the language, is the way of understanding things.
So he moved that laundry for like a week, 2 weeks maybe. He moved that laundry all around our living room.
Yeah.
I mean, from by the door to by the couch to in the hallway. Yeah. And I'm thinking, I ask him all the time to put that laundry away.
He's not listening to me.
It away. And so finally I watched him. I said, can you put that laundry away? And he's like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Honoring.
He's serving you the whole time.
And right in front of me, he picks it up and he moves it. And I'm like, very funny. And he's like, I don't know what you're saying right now. And I'm like, do you know what put it away means? And he's like, to move it. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Everything makes sense now. I was like, no, I want you to like take the clothes and put them in the dresser. And he's like, oh, you should have said that. It was done like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But
that's hilarious.
Definitely.
Smaller things say, but we've been careful to not let the enemy or whatever, or our emotions to make those little things a big deal.
Yeah.
So taking care of that, I think would be like the, no hardest, but the thing that I've taken more of our effort.
Trying to take that self-control and be like, wait a second, that's not a big deal. It just feels like a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, was just a miscommunication. Or, you know, sometimes I think in the beginning, I'm the more sensitive one, of course. So I'd be like, you don't even understand me. You know, how are we married? You don't even. He's like, oh my gosh. He's like, I do understand you. I just misunderstood the word put away. You know, it's like little things like that. But definitely trying to ground ourselves in that and be disciplined in the sense of like, okay, miscommunication happens. I think that's with every marriage, just from what I hear.
As far as I know, I've been in one for a minute now. So
The language barrier is definitely a thing because he's really good.
I'm going to use the put away one though.
For myself. Definitely. I won't tell Megan.
I moved it.
I did what you asked.
And like with him, it's like he knows English very well, so it does kind of sometimes catch me off guard when he doesn't know what something means. So then I'm like, I thought you knew that, you know. And so just understanding that. But whenever we're on the phone, there was miscommunications, but less follow through. Cause it's like, I can tell you, oh, I have somewhere to be later, but it's just me, not him.
Right.
And so then now here we are, I say, I have somewhere to be. And what I mean is that means you have to be there with me and we have to follow through with that. And so you need to be here at this time and be, you know, and it's like, those were never details that we needed on the phone, and we needed long distance because we lived independent for so much. And we did talk every day, majority of the day. Mm-hmm. My friends always make fun of me because my cell phone was always dead because I'm always talking to him.
Yeah.
And, but we never needed the follow through. So now it's just like understanding like, okay, so if I tell you this, we're not just going to have a quick phone call and be done with that. We need to like follow through and change and make that plan. So that is definitely the difference.
Those are some interesting things. Thanks for sharing those. That's the inside track here to the Morales marriage here.
Yeah. It's never dull. I'll tell you that much. We have some good laughs.
Yeah, you guys are going to have some great stories. I can't wait. I can't wait to see where God's going to take you guys in the future of your marriage and what's going to come out of your missionary work and your churches and whatever other plans. Like you said, you don't always know where God's about to take you. You feel like you're on a track, but that track might get shifted to a new direction, you know?
Yeah, amen. And we're definitely just in prayer right now. We're like, we've had a couple opportunities come up with different things, and we think, okay, well, where is God calling us, though? What does this look like? So maybe it's there, maybe it's somewhere else, and... you know,
whatever he wants.
Yeah,
it's a good way to end it.
Yeah.
Thanks guys for coming on the podcast tonight.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having us,
sharing your story. All right guys, thanks for watching today's show. Appreciate it, and until next time, we pray you discover a future and a hope for your life today. We ain't trying to blend in. If you're ready, come on with us, my friend. Come on, we can change the world. Hey, we can change the world. Let's go.
What changes the world? The only thing that ever really changes the world is when somebody gets the idea that love can abound and can be shared.